All right. Psalm 23. Calm in the midst of chaos. I think there's, if you've watched any news, you understand the chaos that's going on in our country. And this pertains to that in part, but you know, many of our lives, there's chaos going on in our life as well. Different, could be health issues, financial, relational, just all sorts of things can go on in our life. And that can be chaotic on an individual level or in a family level or in a church level, as well as a state level or, you know, our county or community, the nation, the world. Chaos can be at any level. And that's the beauty of the Word of God. It pertains to every level. You can apply it individually. You can apply it corporately or internationally or anywhere in between. And as things do seem to get crazier and crazier, it is good for us to take a step back and allow one of the most beautiful and powerful passages in the Bible to comfort us, to minister to us, to remind us, perhaps, of some of the truths that come with a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. In this psalm, written by David, who was the shepherd king, and our Lord, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, also calls himself a shepherd. And in this psalm, the image of Christ is portrayed as a shepherd, and it's an intimate, personal image. Christ is not set forth in this song. I mean, even though he is all these things that I'm about to say, he's not portrayed in this psalm as a king or a lord. You know, when we think of a king or a lord, that's kind of a distant relationship. You know, he's here, we're here. And that's true. That's true. And it's not an impersonal relationship in that, you know, we sing songs or we read scripture about where Jesus is my rock or Jesus is my shield. That's impersonal. It's true. And I'm thankful for his role in that way in my life. But he's not set forth as king or lord or rock or shield in this psalm, but as a shepherd. A shepherd who takes care of his sheep, takes care of his flock, provides for the needs of the flock individually. You know, Jesus said in one of passages in Matthew, you know, the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one that's astray. And he goes after him because he cares about not just the people in general, but he cares about you individually. And if you go astray, he'll go after you and try to bring you back. He takes care of our needs. And this psalm pictures the wonderful, peaceful, trusting relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. It pictures this relationship in a very intimate way. And because of this relationship, we can have calm in the midst of chaos when everything's upside down. And so we're going to look at this psalm. It's a short psalm, 6 verses in your Bible. And this is, as I said on my Wednesday night, if you happen to see that on the video, whatever, however they call it, the stream, whatever. I wanted to say telecast, but that sounded too, I don't know, sounded too weird. But anyway, I said I was going to preach out of the King James because there's just some passages in the Bible know, you could put it up there in any other version, but people are going to recite it in the King James, and this is one of them. This is just one of them, and it's beautiful. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, what a beautiful, just said a few words. And it says so much. And so we're looking at the provider God here today. He provides for us. And that's why all your on your outline you see the Lord provides, the Lord provides, the Lord provides. And we're going to start with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord provides completely. The Lord provides completely. What he's saying here, what David is saying here, I shall not want. I shall. That's a declarative statement. It's not like I hope. It's not like I wish or I think. No, I shall not want. In other words, I shall be supplied. I shall be supplied. There is no doubt in David's mind, and there should be no doubt in our mind, that the Lord knows our situation. He knows our place. He knows where we're at. He knows what's going on, and he is going to be supplied. Now, as you've heard me talk about in the past, there's a difference between wants and needs. The Lord supplies our needs. You know, I want something, and that's fine. Sometimes the Lord blesses, and I get things I want. But the Lord always supplies our needs. And I'm going to give you three little categories. You don't have blanks on this or anything. But sometimes we think we need something and it's not happening. So what does that mean? I'm going to give you three little things that may help you out a little bit. Number one, it might not be fit for you. The thing that you want, it may just, you know, I've wanted, have you ever wanted something and you got it and it was like, wow, I really couldn't use this, or I really, you know, you bought it, you thought you had to have it, and then it just sat on your shelf until one day you either gave it away at a garage sale or you just tossed it. You know, it's just taking up space, right? It really wasn't fit for you. You know, God knows what's fit for us. He knows what we need. And so sometimes, you know, we think we need it, we think we want it, but sometimes God doesn't give it to us because why? It's not fit for us. Another reason why we don't get what we want sometimes is it's not good for us. You know, as parents, if you've ever had children, or some of you are, you know, don't have children yet or whatever, but you may have experienced this. Sometimes as parents, our kids want something, but we know it's not good for them. And so we don't supply that. And the Lord works exactly the same way. You know, sometimes, 12 years old, and man, I want to go out with my friends and go do something that's kind of far away, or with some questionable company, perhaps. And mom and dad go, not happening. And they don't do that. Oh, look at Angelina laughing. So anyway, but you know, sometimes mom and dad, they go, no. Why? Because even though you may think it's good for you and there's no problem with it, mom and dad have wisdom that you don't have yet. Hopefully yet. Hopefully you'll get it. But, you know, and so they tell you, no, it's not good for you to go there. It's not good for you to be with those people. It's not good for you to participate in this particular thing. And it may be something even to possess. It may not be good for you to have that item. You know, most dangerous time in my life was when I got a motorcycle. I was 15 years old. In Florida, you could be 15 and ride a motorcycle if it was under so many horsepower. I tell you, the first 2 weeks I had that thing, I'm lucky to be here. I mean, I lost control of that thing so many times, ran right through my friend's flower bed, right into a wall of his house. Bam! Hit that thing. I'm just sitting there, couldn't figure out where the brakes were, It was just crazy. It wasn't good for me to have that bike, but I had it. But, praise the Lord, God, He protected me because I did some stupid stuff. But a lot of times, God doesn't provide something in our life because it's not good for us. And so, third, it may not be fit for you, may not be good for you, or it may not be time for you. It may not be fit, may not be good, may not be time. It's not now. In other words, not now. And that may be something that will be good for you one day. It may be something that will be fit for you one day. But the bottom line is, God has timing as well. And sometimes we're out of His time. We want it, we want it now. I love that Willy Wonka, the original one with Veruca, right? I want it and I want it now. I want an everlasting gobstopper, Because whatever that thing was. But, and then what happened to her? She jumped on this scale. I want a golden goose or whatever that thing, golden eggs. And she jumped on that thing that went bad egg. Like that and opened up and just dropped her down the garbage chute, Sometimes it's just not now. But it's our nature to, when we decide we want something, it's our nature to be impatient. But God has perfect timing. Do you trust Him? Listen, God provides completely. He provides completely. And if you don't have it, maybe it's because God doesn't want you to have it. Think about that. Because, a lot of times we get this is calm in the midst of chaos. Sometimes we have chaos in our life. Why? Because we're focused on these things we want. We're not getting them. And we're frustrated. And we're not peaceful. Learn to trust in God. He knows what you need, and He's perfectly capable of providing it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. No doubt. I won't want for the things I need. God will provide. Secondly, the Lord provides emotionally. See, the first one is mostly about things that we need, materially, actually. But look what he says here. He says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Another verse in Psalms, be still and know that I am God. There's something about still. We were just up at Panguitch Lake in Utah, and there were days when it was real windy, and there was actually white caps on this lake, and it was just tempestuous. And then there were days when we got up one day, Deb and I got up, and we were out early, and we went by the lake there, and we looked at it, and it was like glass. It was just calm. And I was thinking about this. It's like peace. Peace. Emotionally, we can get so worked up over things going on. We can be so fearful. We can be nervous. We can be afraid. We can have doubt and all these things. But the Lord provides emotionally. He makes me, I like this, He makes me lie down in green. Sometimes God has to sit on us, to calm us down. You ever see, sometimes small children, especially if you pump them up with sugar, they're going nuts. And you just got to grab them and sit them on your lap and make them sit still. Calm down. Like little babies, we teach parenting classes and we teach the moms. Sometimes the babies are just getting worked up. You got to pick them up and comfort them and calm them down so that there'll be peace. And God wants us to be healthy emotionally. He wants us to be peace, to have peace in our emotions, where every pasture is green, where every body of water is still. In other words, we're content. Most of the reason why we get worked up, we're not content with where God has us. We're not content Now, that doesn't mean you don't have goals and things like that, but, you know, if the goal doesn't happen, are you content? Are you okay with where God has you? Are you okay with what God has provided for you? You know, those are things we need to think about sometimes. We really get worked up emotionally. And he just says, hey, lie down in the green pasture next to the still waters and just relax. I got this. I got this. Third, the Lord provides forgiveness. Aren't you glad of that? For without it, there's no point in even being here. The Lord provides forgiveness. The first part, I got two parts in verse 3. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. When we choose poorly, and you know, sometimes we do. You ever make a poor decision? You ever make a bad decision? You ever make a sinful decision? Absolutely we have. Every one of us have. And when we make these decisions, when we choose poorly, isn't it great? He is willing to forgive us. And not only forgive us, but restore us. Restore. The beautiful psalm that David also wrote, Psalm 51, after he had sinned greatly with Bathsheba and with the murder of her husband and all that went on there. And then Nathan came to him and said, you are the man. And he became convicted of his own sin. Finally, I mean, he had denied his sin for probably over a year. And now he's confronted with it, and he breaks, and he asks for forgiveness, and he writes Psalm 51, and in it he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." See, he didn't say, "Restore to me my salvation." It's not what he said. A lot of people use this verse to say, see, you can lose your soul. No. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Listen, I've done things that are wrong since I've been saved. And I'll be honest, until I owned up to it, I didn't have joy. Now, I was saved, but you know, I was not doing well. But you know what? When you make it right, he restores you. And you can have joy once again in being a child of God. The joy is returned. You know, it's just like our own children. You know, they do something wrong. They're still your kids. Right? No matter what they did, they're still your kids. But there's, you know, when your kid has done something that really made you angry, do you have joy with him? You know? I mean, it's like, man, I'm pretty upset with you. And they're not looking for, I remember, you know, when I do something wrong at home, or I'll pick on my brothers because they're not here. When my brothers would do something wrong at home, it was hysterical for me because I'd been there. I'm 10 years older than they are. And I'd come home from school, and they got out of school before I did in those days. I was in high school. They were in elementary school. And I come home, and there was the hutch. And the hutch is still there today. You know, it's still there. And there's a chair on either side of the hutch. And if you were in trouble, you were sitting in that chair waiting for Dad to come home. And I'd come in the door, and I'd see my brothers sitting there. And I'd go, woo-hoo. You guys are in for it, man. I'd lay it on them. Because, you know, I got it, you know, years before them. They weren't around, you know. But now it's kind of cool to see someone else get it. And I'd goad them a little bit, you know. I'd go, what'd you guys do? You know, and they'd tell me, like, I think one of them one time got mad and there was curtains in their room and they jumped and grabbed the curtains and ripped the rods out of the wall or something, you know, something like that. I'm not sure. I think one brother blamed the other, but they both got in trouble and, you know, all that. But I don't really know what really happened that day, but they told me that, and I go, ooh, you guys are going to get killed. You know, I just really laid it on them. But you know what? They were not looking forward for Dad to come home. And he always came home, like, at the same time. It was like 10 after 4 or something like that. So I just kind of hang around, you know. I wanted to see what was going to happen, you know. But at any rate, they were not looking forward to Dad coming home. Now, Dad still loved them, and they still loved Dad. But there was no joy. And the closer that clock got to 4:10, you know, you knew judgment was coming, you know. And but you know, that, it's that way with us, with God. You know, when we do something wrong, when we choose to do something wrong and we break the fellowship, you know, it's hard to face God. It's, there's no joy there. It's like, wow. But you know what? If you just go before Him and just ask Him to forgive you and make it right, if you did transgress against someone, make it right with them the best you can. Ask them for forgiveness. Ask God. You know what? The joy comes back. You don't have to live with guilt. You don't have to live with shame. You don't have to live at odds with people. The Lord provides forgiveness. It's there. Second part of that verse, which it relates to it, the Lord provides guidance. He says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He provides guidance. Yeah, we made a bad decision. That's why we needed forgiveness. But you know what? He doesn't just say, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. I mean, you know, why do little kids learn no first? That's usually their first word, you know. Why do they hear it? Because you're always telling them no. They're doing this. No, don't do that. No, no, no. No, no, no. And then they learn to go no to you. But, you know, why is that? Because we do things wrong. But the Lord doesn't just say, don't do this, don't do this. It says here, He leads us. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. We choose the paths of darkness. We choose the paths that disappoint. But He wants to lead us in the paths that uplift, the paths that go somewhere good, somewhere positive, somewhere that will accomplish something, something that will glorify Him and expand the kingdom, something that will build our character, those kind of paths. God will do that. He wants to do that. He provides guidance through His Word. You know, read this Word. You have a doubt what God thinks? Read this. He tells you what He thinks on a whole bunch of subjects. And as an added bonus, those of us that have named the name of Christ, Holy Spirit's right here saying, don't do that. You need to do this. I want to guide you in this direction. The Lord provides guidance through His Word, through His Spirit. Listen, no matter how dark it is, no matter if you know, sailors used to sail by the stars and the sun and all that, but no matter how cloudy it is, no matter how dark it is, you have a compass. You have a compass. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit to guide you. Even when it's dark, even when the clouds are, you're surrounded in a fog, there is a compass available to you if you will only take advantage of it and trust it. Verse 4, first part of verse 4, the Lord provides companionship. And I've got some words there. You know, if you get nothing else out of this today, get this verse, because this is huge. Listen, life can be chaotic. Life can be threatening. Life can be terrifying. And when you're in this place, you know, you can read this verse, and I've given you, you know, God has provided for us, and I've listed them for you. Five words to dwell upon regarding the first part of this verse in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. First of all, the five words I'm giving you is, number one, when things are going crazy, remember that it's a walk. Your walk with God. Yea, though I walk through, so many times we are in such a hurry. Something's going on in our life. Things are going crazy. It's upside down. And we are in a hurry for it to get over. And we can scramble around and try and make things right or whatever. But you know what I've learned is life is pretty much a walk. God's doing something in your life. And your walk is important. It's not a race. It's not running. It's not fleeing from something. It's a walk. In other words, as you're going through the valley, as you're going through the dark time, as you're going through the hard time, look around. Because God is doing something. Now, He may not be the cause of it. Sometimes we're the cause of it. Sometimes we put ourselves in the valley by the poor decision we make. And even though we may ask Him for forgiveness or we may, ask Him to get us out of it, yeah, He'll forgive you. But a lot of times, I hate that verse, but it's true. You reap what you sow. Sometimes you make a bad decision. God's going to let you reap what you planted when you made that decision. But He's still going to be with you. He doesn't leave you or forsake you. But while you're there, while you're in the valley, look around. You don't look around when you're running. But as you walk, you look around. You take it in and hear me. Learn. Learn while you're in the valley. Learn. God is trying to teach. He will take our bad circumstances and our bad decisions and still work in our lives and teach us something through it. He will do that. Learn. Secondly, the word to be aware of is through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You are going through the valley. You're not lost, and you're not going to be there forever. You are going through the valley. What does that mean? That means you're going to come out of it at some point. Now, sometimes the valley, depending on what your valley is, it might last your whole life. I'm not trying to be, I'm trying to make everyone depressed, but, some things we have to deal with our whole life. You ever made a decision? And I bet you there's some here, nobody raise your hand. But you make a decision and you may pay for that the rest of your life. Okay? But what you need to understand is you're still going through the valley. One day it will be over. And if you're a child of the living God, it's all going to be taken care of and you will live forever with Him. And it's going to be good. So regardless of how long or short the valley is, the point is you're going through it. You're going through it. You're not stuck there. It will come to an end. You will come out of it. You're going through the valley. The next word is the valley itself. Okay? We're going to walk. We're going to go through it. But it is a valley. I'm not trying to tell you to stick your head in the sand and pretend like, it's all okay when it's not. Valleys are valleys. Valleys can be dark. They can be dirty. It was interesting. We were at the lake, Panguitch Lake, and we're up at 8,200 feet. And there was a couple days there where we actually went to the town of Panguitch, which is in the valley. And as you come down, is that 18 miles, I think, to get to that town. And it is just simply a town. It's like 1,800 people or something small. But you come down, and once you finally make that final turn, and all of a sudden, bam, there's the valley. And there's trees. It was trees where we were at, but different trees. The trees of the valley and the grass. And there was fruit there. Fruit grows in the valley. You don't see apple orchards on mountaintops. Okay? The valley, the San Joaquin Valley. Look how much food is grown there. You don't go to the Sierras to get the produce, do you? You go to the valley. the valley can be dark and dirty, and it can be a bad place, depending on what's going on, but fruit grows there. And now what you gotta, how do you relate this to yourself? God is trying to get you to bear fruit. And I'll tell you something, I find this to be true. I grow more in the valley than I do on the mountaintop. Mountaintop experiences are great. I'm glad we have them. We were up yon mountains, and man, it's beautiful, and man, you enjoy the view and all that, but you know what? Once you're on the top, there's only one way to go, and that's down. When you get to the top, every direction you face is downhill. And so God gives us those times in our life where we live in victory and we live on top, so to speak, whether it be emotionally or spiritually, whatever. But what goes up must come down. And eventually you're going to be back in the valley in some area of your life. That's just part of life, folks. I'm not trying to be depressing here, but I'm just saying, you know, it's reality. But where do you grow the most? You know, when you're on the mountaintop, what's your walk with God like? But when you're in the valley, what's your walk with God like, right? That's when you start doing business with Him, right? When things aren't going right. I grow more in the valley than I do the mountaintop. And I bet you do too. And God knows that. So it's a walk, it's not a race. You're going through the valley, which means you're going to come out the other side. While you're in the valley, you need to realize you're there to bear fruit. Okay? Fourth, shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, I want you to get this. It's very important. It's a shadow. It's a shadow, folks. It's the shadow of death. The valley is not death. Sometimes we get into the valley and we think, well, I'm going to die here. It's the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, the shadow of a snake can't bite you. Right? The shadow of a sword cannot kill you. It's a shadow. For the Christian, this is what? The valley of what? The shadow of death. For the Christian, death is a shadow and not to be feared. It's not to be feared. Understand, when you're in the valley, yeah, it seems like it's the end of the world, but it's not. It's a shadow. It doesn't mean you don't take it seriously. Being in a valley is serious stuff. We've all been there. Many of you, some of you are in there now. There's things going on. But remember, it's not the end. And it's a shadow. Look at this. When this corruptible is clothed with incorruptibility, this is Paul talking about us, ourselves, our being, okay, our soul. You know, our soul is corruptible. Now, our spirit is pure. If we've been born again, we have a pure spirit. It's the battle of the flesh against the spirit, right? And the battle takes place in the mind. But this corruptible, when it's clothed with incorruptibility, meaning that when I die and go be with God, right? I will be incorruptible. What I am now corruptible. Yeah, I can be bought. I guess that's what it's saying. I can be bought. I make bad decisions. But one day I'll be clothed with incorruptibility. And this mortal, this body that's going to die one day, and that's the thing I've been saying about this corona thing all along. Listen, everybody dies of something. We can run around and be afraid of this thing all we want, but everybody dies of something. And you're not going to, if you're serving God, you're not going to die before your time. God's got a plan for you. He's going to fulfill it. I don't mean be stupid. We have responsibility. We do smart things. Okay? But we shouldn't have fear. But this mortal, this body that will die, and we all will die, it will be clothed with immortality. Then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. In other words, it's the law that convicts us. You know, just look at the Ten Commandments. You've broken most of them, so have I. And we may say, well, I didn't break that one or that one. Yeah, well, 8 out of 10 ain't going to get it for you. You know, the Bible says if you break one part of the law, you broke it all. You fall short of the glory of God. The power of sin is the law. The law is not there to save us. The law is there to convict us so that we realize we need a Savior. And that's why he says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Christian, the valley of the shadow of death, it's simply that. It's a shadow. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, if you've confessed to Him that you're a sinner and you need help, and you ask Him to forgive you, guess what? He does. And He clothes you with immortality. He makes a new creature. He imparts His Spirit to you. And He begins to work in you. And He gives you the victory. And we don't have to be afraid of death anymore. Because see, at that point, death becomes a shadow. It doesn't kill you. You just die, and then behold, you are now in a new place. A great place with the God of the universe. What a wonderful promise. So get this. It's a shadow. The thing that you're going through right now, that you're calling the valley, it's a shadow. It has no power over you. Do you need to address it and deal with it? Yeah, you do. Yeah. But it has no power over you. And you need to do what's right. But God gives us the victory. And that's why he says, though even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's no fear. It's a shadow. Jesus has got this. He's already conquered it. Don't let the devil take away your joy. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let the devil steal your peace and your comfort. You can have that all the way through the valley. And he says, why? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. He's with us. We are not alone in this life. We're not alone. You may think you're alone. Sometimes things happen in your life and you just feel alone. You feel like there's nothing else. But for the person that has Christ, you are not alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Even when you do wrong, I will never leave you or forsake you. In other words, the Lord is with me. Say it. The Lord is with me. Say it. The Lord is with me. Now, do you believe it?
Amen.
Then live like it. Act like it. The Lord is with me. Second part of the verse. The Lord provides comfort. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And how is He with us? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord provides comfort. And He says, the rod and the staff. The rod speaks of discipline. God's, believe it or not, God's discipline is comforting. God's discipline is comforting. Why? I'll tell you the way I look at it. It verifies I'm His child. It's comforting to know that even though I screwed up, I made a bad decision, I said something I shouldn't have said or did something I shouldn't have done or whatever, it's, and God deals with me and I pay a price to learn a lesson. But you know what? It's so comforting to know that God's dealing with me and that I'm His child and that He loves me and He cares too much to leave me the way I am. You know, why do we discipline our children? We want to change their behavior. They did something wrong. So we discipline them. Why? In hopes that their behavior will change. Why? Because we love our kids. We don't want them to keep doing stupid stuff. We don't want them to keep doing things that aren't right. And there's a lot of kids, and I've had kids tell me that they wished their parents had punished them. Because their parents just let them run amok. You know, the Bible says he that doesn't punish his child hates him. I know you kids don't want to hear that, but... But be glad when your parents punish you, because you know why they're punishing you? Because they love you. They love you. And they love you too much to leave you the way you're going. And so they punish you. But it's discipline. It's not really punishment. It's a bad word. Discipline's a better word, because discipline carries with it instruction. Punishment is like our prison system. Oh, you stole something, you get 5 years. You know, they don't try to rehab you. They don't try to teach you anything. They just throw you in a can for 5 years. And then you've seen it. They let out all the prisoners, right? And what do? This one guy got arrested like 6 times in a row because they kept letting him go. He says, this is great. I rob a bank, they let me go. Go rob a bank again. They don't learn. But when God disciplines me, He's teaching me. He's wanting me to be more like Jesus. And it's comforting to know that my Heavenly Father cares enough to take the time to work in my life. It's a very comforting thought. That's the rod of discipline. God's discipline is comforting because it verifies I'm His child. You know, I don't discipline someone else's child. You know, like if I see, I may want to. I've seen many that I wanted to. But it's someone else's child. They're not my child. I don't discipline them. I discipline my children. And God is no different. So if you're a child of God and you do something wrong, you can rest assured God's going to deal with you. But it's a comfort at the same time, because you know what? Wow. God, you're there. You know, okay, I tried to get away with some. You didn't let me do it, but I'm going to pay the price. But you know what? You care, and I'm glad you care, and I'm glad I'm your child. The rod is discipline. The staff is support. The shepherd's staff that he would carry. God's support is comforting because His arm is not weak. He's able to take care of whatever it is that's going on. His support. The staff was used as a lot of things. Sometimes the shepherd would walk around and maybe the lamb was going to drop into the stream and drown. Reach over there, it had that little hook on the end, you know? That hook wasn't there like a handle. That's not what it was for. He reached down there and snagged that lamb. Drag him back to safety. It was a tool. And God uses it to support us, to teach us, to lift us up, to help us. You know, the Bible says what he lifts, takes us out of the miry clay and sets our feet on a rock. The little lamb is stuck and shepherd takes his staff and lifts him out of there and sets him on the firm ground. And God wants to do the same thing with you and me. We get ourselves into trouble because we don't know any better. You know, sheep are really stupid animals. They are. They just are. And God calls us sheep, so, you know, deal with it, you know. But sheep get into trouble. They're defenseless. What defense does... I mean, the only defense I can think of for sheep is they stink. I mean, you know, not like a skunk, but pretty bad. Pretty bad. I remember we were going to town after church one day in Aztec in New Mexico, and we got in our car and got on the road there, and County Road 2900, which is the road we lived on, and we had to go into town. And all of a sudden, there was like 1,000 sheep in the middle of this road. Like, these Indians were on horseback, and they're moving their sheep from one place to another. Man, it stunk. You know, we were in our car. We're driving along, man. Roll up the windows, turn on the air conditioner on the max, you know, where it's just circulating the inside air. You know, you didn't want any of that outside air. And those sheep were just going everywhere. And those Indians were on horses, and they're constantly getting them out of here and getting them to go wherever it was they needed to go. And, you know, sometimes I think God's doing that with me. You know, he's got his angels all around. Man, this guy's stupid. He needs to go here. And, you know, we got to do a lot of work to get him where we want him to go, you know. I don't know why I went there, but I did. Maybe somebody needed that. I don't know. Not on my notes. I got to figure out where I'm at. Okay. The rod. Okay. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They are a comfort. When God disciplines us, when God supports us and lifts us out, it's a comfort. Verse 5. The Lord provides assurance. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The Lord provides assurance. You know, I mean, think about what this verse says. He's preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, normally, I would think he'd prepare a table for me with my buddies. You know, let's all party. Let's have a good fellowship. Let's, you know, let's have a meal together and enjoy this. No, he says, I prepare a table. He's preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's pretty crazy. You know, there are people out there, you know, we're beginning to feel it, aren't we? The persecution of the church, of Christians, all these things. And you know, in the presence of our enemies, God is still preparing a table for us. He's lifting us up. He's celebrating with us. As the enemy applies pressure, he sets a table, a well-set table. And then he says, and he anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. I mean, it's overflowing with blessing. You know, the Holy Spirit oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And no, you don't get more of the Holy Spirit. You get all you're going to get. But the point being, He is blessing us. We are filled with His Spirit. He's anointing us. My cup is flowing over. In other words, I will be provided for. I have purpose. And God is not, you know, the first verse, He says, Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, you know, I'm not going to lack anything. But in this verse, he's saying, he's going to be blessing me abundantly. It's going to be overflowing. It's not that I'm not going to lack anything. I'm actually going to be blessed. It's not just the absence of lack, but rather it is bountiful. It is overflowing. He provides assurance. In other words, wow, yeah, all this craziness is going on, but he's blessing me abundantly in the midst of it. And you know what? That assures me. It assures me on a number of levels. It assures me that he's there. It assures me that he's aware. It assures me that he hasn't forgotten me. He knows what I'm going through. He knows the situation. Even though I'm in the presence of my enemies, he's right there with me. That's assurance. That's what enables people to go through some really tough stuff. You ever read stories about some of these Christians? You're like, how did they do that? Well, they knew God was right there. They had assurance that God was in the middle of all that. And that's how they got through. Lastly, the Lord provides security. When we rest in the Lord, he promises that goodness and mercy will pursue us in this life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we rest in the Lord, goodness and mercy shall follow us. You know, I love Deuteronomy 28. And, you know, says this, I'll just read it real quick. You can look at it. You know, the first 14 verses is just all about blessing. He says, and it shall come to pass that if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. You know what that means? That means listen carefully. Listen with the intent that you're going to do what he asks. And it says, unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments which I command you, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations in the earth of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. It's almost as if you're running away from the blessing, but the blessing just catches you and jumps on you anyway, and shall overtake you if you should hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. And blessed you'll be in the city. Blessed you'll be in the field. Blessed you'll be the fruit of your body. In other words, your children. The fruit of the ground. The fruit of your cattle. Blessed will be your basket and your store. Blessed you'll be when you come in. Blessed you'll be when you go out. It just goes on and on and on. I'll just leave it right there. But, you know, When you're serving him and you're selling out to him, you're going to be blessed. And when you're following his rule for your life, his leading, his guidance, he wants to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because when you do something good, he gets the glory. And you do all that, you know what? Blessing is going to overtake you. Blessing is going to come. It says, blessing and goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And he ends it with, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's your promise. Yeah, there's going to be valleys, but you know, at some point, you're going to get through them and you're going to be with God forever. Man. That's why we can be calm in the midst of chaos. You've heard me say it over and over again. Why? Because this life is temporary. It's temporary. If you live to be 120, it's still temporary. And the problems you're dealing with aren't going to be there forever. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a promise for everyone that names the name of Christ. So whatever is upside down in your world, take a step back and let this psalm minister to you. You truly can be calm in the midst of chaos. The Lord knows exactly where you are. In fact, he's right here with you and me, now and always. Amen. Maybe someone here today, maybe you cannot have calm in the midst of chaos. Why? Because you don't have the one that can calm the storm living within you. you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You never admitted to God that you're a sinner and you deserve hell. But the good news is Jesus Christ came and paid the price for your sin. Because of your sin, you are condemned already, the Bible says. You are condemned. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, paid the price for your sin by His death, by His sacrifice. That's what the whole Old Testament sacrifice was about. It was a picture. They had to sacrifice this lamb, this unblemished lamb, to God to pay the price for their sin. And it was a picture of what Jesus was going to do one day. That's why He's called the Lamb of God. And He was truly unblemished in that He never sinned. And that is why He had to die, because He was the only acceptable sacrifice to God. It was the only sacrifice God could accept, because God was holy and it had to be a perfect sacrifice for Him to accept it. And that's why we don't sacrifice animals anymore, ever since Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Why? Because the sacrifice has been made, Bible says, once for all. And we don't go back. That sacrifice was made for you and for me and for the world. And everyone that puts their faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross shall be saved. Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And there may be someone here, you've never gone to God and said, forgive me, I'm a sinner, I realize that I lack, and I want to ask you to forgive me. And you know what, if you do that, He will. If you trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, He will forgive you, and He will save you. He will give you His Holy Spirit, and your life will change forever. And your future will be certain in heaven. It just doesn't get any better than that. If you've never done that, you have an opportunity. You may be online, you may be at home, maybe someone here, I don't know. But if you make that decision, be the best decision you ever make in your life. That's for sure. For the rest of us, for those that already know, are you full of fear? Is the chaos of this crazy world we live in getting to you? I hope this psalm, maybe you're looking at it a little differently than you ever have before. But maybe there's some here today that you've been in fear of some things and you realize now it's, you know what, it's just a shadow. And God has got this. Maybe for some of us, we're running through this valley trying to get out of it, and we need to slow down and just take in what God has for us, what God would have us learn from the valley we're in. Maybe some of us, we've been kind of going our way, and we need to let Him lead us on the path of righteousness once again. Maybe we've been living our life our way instead of His way. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe some of you are feeling very alone right now. It is so easy to do with all this sequestering and stuff. You can feel very alone. And God created us to be social creatures. What did He say all the way back in Genesis? It's not good for man to be alone. And it's not good for us to be alone. Sometimes you got to for a time, but you got to get back. And you know what, though? If you don't have the Lord, maybe you're trying to do things your way. You're not trying to do things with Him. And maybe you're feeling alone. Well, I want you to know you're not alone. Lord's here. And He's right there with you. When you get in your car, He's going to be right there with you. But maybe you feel alone. Well, maybe you need to ask Him, you know, Lord, show Yourself to me in a very real way. I just need a little support. That kind of thing. I don't know where you're at, but this will be the time to deal with it. Kathy, why don't you come up? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Never done it. I need to do it. I recognize I have a need, but maybe you're afraid, or maybe you're not ready, but you recognize you have a need and you'd like some prayer. Would you slip your hand up? I just want to pray for you. If anybody's like that here today, I just want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I'm in a valley. I've been in a valley about whatever. I don't need to know, but just you're in a valley and you need some prayer that you would respond to what God is trying to show you in this valley. Anybody like that? I'm in a valley. I need prayer. I just want prayer. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I've been kind of going on my own path and I need to let him lead me in the path of righteousness rather than my own way. And I'd like some prayer about that. Anybody like that? I got a path I need to go. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see that. How many would say, I've just been trying to get through the valley instead of learn from the valley, and I need some prayer about that. I need to learn where I'm at right now. Anybody like that? I need to learn. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come before you, a variety of people with many different things in our lives, unique things for some of us that others don't deal with. And yet, Lord, you are familiar with them all. And Lord, I pray for these that raise their hand. I pray, Lord, you would give them light. I pray you give them comfort. I pray you give them assurance. I pray you would show them what you are trying to do in their life. And I pray, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way in their life, Lord, that they would know that they can be calm, that they know that you are there with them. Father God, I pray for anyone that may be watching, whether here or online or in the parking lot, that don't know you as Savior. Lord God, I pray they would make that decision, that they would pray to receive Christ, their Lord and Savior. Lord God, I pray you'd move on their heart in a mighty way if that's the case. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you and I ask you to bless these that raise their hand. I pray, Lord, you would move on them in a very special way, that they would know that you are dealing with them. And Lord, give them wisdom, give them courage, give them strength as they go forward from this day. I ask you, Lord, to move on their hearts right now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time now. If God's dealing with you, this is your time for the next few seconds to deal with him. Take advantage of it. Father, Lord God, we thank you for this psalm of hope and comfort. And Lord, I pray that you would use it to work on our hearts and in whatever way you see fit, Lord. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear what you are trying to show us in our own individual unique situations. And Lord God, indeed, give us calm in the midst of chaos, that we would shine bright for Jesus Christ in this dark world. And Lord God, that you would be glorified and that your kingdom would be impacted mightily by what you are doing in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.